But I will say this. I am more confident going like this.
Okay. Welcome to the pulpit.
Wow.
Oh, good. You're doing that. Just so you know. Yeah.
It's always intimidating when people put their phone out.
Sorry. It's going to happen. We have people who can't be here tonight. They've said, please record this. So I just want to say this before Jesse gets started. We've been talking and building, you know, the whole pursue love, see the gospel work. And I just am so excited to get into several weeks where we're just getting into the Word of God, the value of the Word of God, like actually looking about what, you know, why is God's Word worth trusting? Why is it worth building our life on? And I think that, again, these things are not disconnected. You know, like the idea of repentance, it's not like we're done with that and now moving on to something else. We continue to say, God, change the way we think. Any place that we're thinking that's not in line with what you're thinking, that's the very foundation of what we're leaning into. Because we say, God, we want our thoughts to be brought into alignment with your thoughts, right? As we lean into that, we're seeing the gospel work. We're seeing this idea of the gospel working, the good news. Jesus, his message was, when he showed up on the earth, change the way you think, repent, and believe this good news. So, like, we want to, like, just be in a place where we're being mindful of the good news working around us. And I think it's really important that we do that. How many of you got to see the good news of Jesus work someplace this week where you can say, I know, I witnessed Jesus being alive this week? That's awesome. And like, we need to live with a conviction, because as we approach things, maybe we're, you know, we don't know. We need to approach what we don't know by what we do know. And we know that he's good. And we know that he's alive. And just being convicted. I'll share more about this like at a future time, but yesterday, like, had this 18-year in the making divine appointment. I mean, a conversation, hosting some strangers that we didn't even know. 18 years ago in North Carolina, had a divine appointment yesterday, because God loves this woman so much that he needed her to know that someone knew her and someone understood. And he put, it just orchestrating, I'm thinking, wow, God is alive. I mean, I believed it before yesterday. But it's like, if it's possible, like, I was convinced even more that he is alive and he loves us and he wants to invade our lives. Yeah. I'm just like, wow, I just was made to, this is the oxygen I was made to breathe in. So as we get into the Word, as we listen to the Word, let's just ask God that his goodness and that what we've witnessed, John says, that which we've seen with our eyes and touched with our hands, that we give to you. Let's just pray right now as we get ready to get into the Word. Our lens will be defined by the filter of his goodness and of the fact that he's alive and he's breathing in this room tonight. So God, I ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you, by your Spirit, bring your breath of God, bring your breath of life. We ask that you bless Jesse. God, we are excited to hear and receive, God, a word from you through her. God, we pray for like laser-like precision, both for her words and for our hearing. God, we pray against distraction. May our hearts be locked in to your goodness. Come reveal to us more of your goodness through your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Some of you were at Leaders Brunch this month, and we talked a lot about the Hub, and we talked about a cleaning day that we're going to have, and that cleaning day is this Saturday. So, I know a lot of people, you wrote down your names on a list, and if you weren't at Leaders Brunch, that's okay, but we've owned this building for about 4 years now, and there's just a lot of miscellaneous tasks that need to be done around the building, cleaning out closets, cleaning things, changing light bulbs, moving items around, that kind of stuff, that we're hoping to get done this Saturday. So if you are available on Saturday and you're a part of our community, I'm going to ask that you guys participate in that. I know a lot of you have committed already, so if you're around and you're available, I ask that you be there. The ideal plan is for us to be working from 9 to 5. If you can't make it for the whole day, that's okay. Just show up when you can. We're going to be starting around 9, as I said. Ideally starting at 9, so if you're going to come in the morning, make sure you're there by 9 so we can get started. And then if you can only make it in the afternoon, we're going to kind of start like a second wave of cleaning. We'll break for lunch for a little while, and then we're going to start again at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you can only come for the morning or only for the afternoon, come around 9 or 1, ideally. But yeah, there will be more text message information sent out later this week. But if you're around this Saturday and are available, I'm going to ask that you participate in that cleaning so we can really just get this building up to par and just really make use of it in the best way we can so we can just steward it really well. Any questions? Abigail? Right, yeah. So David and I have been working together to compile a pretty clear list of things that need to be done around the building. So on that day, we're going to have a number of teams set up, just as people come through, and our teams set up to do specific tasks for, so like, mainly like on different rooms, but just like moving things throughout the hub. It'll be pretty clear. We'll make it as clear as possible. So bear with us, because it could be messy cleaning up a building this large with all the stuff that's in it, but ideally, it's going to be pretty clear what needs to be done, and everyone will have very clear tasks to complete on that day.
What day is that again?
Saturday, May 28th, 9 to 5 p.m. Anything else? Cool.
Woohoo, just me!
Yeah, you think I wear this because I'm cold, but really it's like a big Kleenex for during worship. If you want to borrow it afterwards, let me know. I want to share with you guys what's been happening in me within the last 48 hours. Actually, it's been happening... I would say there's been like spotches of where I've been struggling with actually feeling close to God the last like couple weeks. And it would be like, not like it's a bad day, you know, you wake up and it's just like, I'm not having a bad day, there's nothing bad about today. But it's just that I know what it's like to wake up singing. And I know what it's like to go through my day and feel His presence. And I know what it's like to go to bed singing. And so when I wake up in the morning, and it's just like, I'm not singing, like, God, you know, it's not a bad day, but like, why do I, there's one time it's just like, I told Ben, I was like, I just feel like so disconnected from God, or like, I feel like He's distant, and the truth is, He's not. And so like, I know the truth, but I miss the closeness, because I've tasted and I've seen, and I know what His presence is like, and I long for it. And so there's just like been this longing. And so it's been really good to be at this conference that we went to within the last 48 hours. And I was amazed when this guy Todd White is speaking. And his sermons are mostly just the scriptures. Like I'm sitting there listening to him and it's the scriptures. But his message is just like the order of the scriptures that he's using.
Yeah.
And it's just like he's just quoting like verse after verse. And I'm like convicted. So I'm like, man, he knows like more of the word of God memorized than I do. And I'm sitting there and he's done like 2 sessions. And then, you know, you have other speakers get up and give sessions. And I feel like by the end of the conference, I heard like the whole Bible. I don't know if anyone else felt that way. But it was just like word after word after word, and sitting and you're letting like the word of God just saturate your thinking. And it's not enough to remember who God is, because I can wake up in the morning and remember that God is good, and I can remember that He's near, and I can remember that He's provider and that He's defender. But when I forget the scriptures and the work of the cross, I forget who I am. I forget my identity. I forget that I'm the righteousness of Christ in Him, and that I'm invincible, and I'm the most dangerous weapon to the darkness that there is. And when I forget that, I start to live timidly, and I start to live more distant, and I start to live... and so it's not like that I forgot who God was, but I forgot who I was, and I forgot the finished work of the cross. And so this realization of just sitting there and letting every scripture kind of hit me, it was almost like this chiropractor adjustment that happened. And I believe this is just like a word for us of what it's like to hear the word of God. It's like you naturally, like you get out of place. Like your body gets out of place. When you go to the chiropractor, they just take your like spine, they take your back, they take the bones and just like put them back into alignment. Because what that does is whenever you're out of alignment, I mean, your digestive system can be off. You'll have pain in different parts of your body that you're not supposed to have pain in. You weren't born with. It's like not something you're supposed to have. But if something is off and you're not in alignment, you're going to start to feel that. And this is the importance of the Word of God. And that's what I'm speaking on tonight and sharing with you guys, just the importance of the Word. The Word is what lets you wake up every day in complete health. The Word is what allows you to never walk in shame. The Word is what allows you to not walk in condemnation. The Word is what allows you to speak things into existence. The Word is everything that we need to be. And if we aren't it, it's because we either don't know the Word or we've forgotten it. And I just think that with what we have and what we've been blessed with having this Word of God in front of us, and so many people don't have it, it's not an excuse to not know it. It's not an excuse for me to be something less than what God intended me to be because I don't know the truth. Or I haven't spent time in the truth. So when Brad is talking about like needing to repent of different attitudes and how it doesn't stop with the Word, one of the things I've noticed with myself is like my attitudes towards the Word of if I value it or not.
Yeah.
And what I believe about the Word of God is influenced a lot by culture. I'm not gonna, you guys know the story of Balaam. It's a story in Numbers 22. This guy, so the Israelites are in the desert, they're wandering, and the king of Moab hires Balaam. He's like, I want you to come curse the Israelites. And so he's like this, I don't know what you want to call him,
seer.
He's not like a God prophet, but he's one who would curse and bless people of different religions, different, you know, he wasn't like a follower of God. But the king of Moab was hiring him to curse Israel because he knew that if Balaam could curse Israel, they would be cursed because this is what this guy does. And they were going to hire him to do it. And so the story goes that Balaam refuses to go. And then he finally goes and he ends up blessing Israel. And the king of Moab is real mad at him. It's like, why did you bless Israel? I hired you to curse him. And he said, I can't curse someone who's been blessed by God. And like God physically, like God stopped him. Anytime he would try to curse Israel, he like would physically stop him. Whether it be making his donkey crush him on the side of the road while he's trying to get there. Like he's like the sovereignty and protection of God would not let the people of God be cursed. So there was like impossible for the people of God to be cursed. There would be one person going up against 1,000 and two against 10,000. where 300 in an army could take a whole nation. And it's like no one could stand against the God of the Israelites, and this fear just goes against them. But I found out, you know, from this story that this, actually, Balaam is mentioned in 2 Peter. It's mentioned, he's mentioned in Jude. He's mentioned in Revelation. And what happened with him was because he couldn't curse Israel, he actually told Balak, the king, he said, if you want them to not walk in the blessing of God, here's what you need to do. Send prostitutes into the nation. Send the Moabite women in. And little by little, you'll begin to deceive them. Little by little, they'll begin to walk away. And they won't be walking in the divine protection and covenant of the Lord that they've been walking in. So I'm going to read where this reference is in Revelation 2. This is a letter to the church in Pergamum. And this is an actual church that was in existence during the time that John wrote this. But these churches are applicable to worldwide, like what the churches are like. Like, you can apply what is being said to these churches to now. These are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual adultery. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So that the people could not be cursed. But the method and the scheme that was against them was to slowly lead them astray. It was like so sly and so subtle. It was like yeast. That when a little bit of yeast gets into the camp, it would start to lead like the whole people astray. And so, like, when I'm applying this to us, it's not like he's saying, like, beware of... You know, beware of the teaching of Balaam. Beware of, like, what he's doing. But it's not like we're being aware of Moab. It's not like we're being aware of these false gods and this ideology coming in. But I've realized that some of the things that are most prevalent in our culture, like universalism and secularism, which says, like, there's a separation between civil society, between education. There's a separation between religion and worship and the whole rest of the world. Universalism. That everyone has, you know, everyone's going to get to God. I think everyone has their own way. Everyone has their own opinion. And there's become this this value for tolerance of diversity, tolerance of different modes of thought and thinking. And, I mean, these are the thought patterns of our culture. These are the thought patterns of our day. It's not Moab, but it's something very similar because it's affecting our thinking, and I've seen it starting to affect my thinking as I start to even think about how I engage people with the Word of God. Like, when I'm in the coffee shop and I'm talking to someone, is there a hesitance in me to say, like, the Bible says this? Because I'm afraid of offending them. I'm afraid of being, like, that religious person or to be the one that brings the Bible out, because there's been such a negative stigma against people who are Bible beaters or use scripture all the time. And, you know, there is abuse out there. But when I start to make my behavior respond to the abuse of what I'm afraid to become. I quit operating out of what the Bible tells me I should be operating out of. So sometimes it could be someone in the coffee shop, and I know where they're coming from, where they're coming more from a, you know, like a universalist, everyone's got their own way to heaven point of view. And I find that when I'm talking to them, I talk to them like I'm stating, well, this is my opinion. This is what I think. Yeah. And it's just like, wow, that's so contrary. That's me stepping into their way of thinking and stepping into who they are and agreeing with the ideology that they have. But the Word of God isn't the thing that has the absolute truth, and that the Word of God isn't the thing that transforms. And they don't need my opinion.
Come on.
They need me to say this is what the Word of God says. And my words won't change people.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will not quote the Bible for fear of being religious or fear of being one of the like Bible thumpers. And I don't want to be that stigma. I don't want to be that person. And so I avoid speaking the very words that have the power to break stone into pieces.
Come on.
The very power that melts people's hearts from stone into flesh. And we underestimate the breath of God.
Come on.
Like, it's His word that breathed the world into existence. It's His word that said, Lazarus, come forth.
Yeah.
It's His word that spoke me my identity. And if I try to navigate around the Word of God and tell people my opinion or try to explain the Word rather than speak the Word, I leave it void of its power. Because what people need is the breath of God. So I'm saying this because I realize this is happening where pieces of my culture have started to influence and find its way into my thinking very subtly. It's not enough to, it hasn't taken me off course. It hasn't made me worship other gods. But the very beginning of that is when we lose a value for the Word of God and we start to think of it as not the divine authority that it is. There's a relative of mine who struggles with homosexuality. And when I ask her why, she's a Christian, she believes in God. But when I ask her why, she says, well, I don't think that God would want me to live my life not being happy and not being loved. And I would say, well, what about Scripture? Or I would say, like, you know, like, I want some kind of scriptural defense. Like, I can understand you if you have some kind of defense, you know. But the idea that she said, well, I don't believe the scriptures for today. I don't believe that the scripture is the divine word of God. I think it's just a book. And so her answer to why she does the things that she does is because this is what I think. This is my opinion.
Come on.
That I don't think that God would want me to not be happy. But when we lose the Word of God as our plumb line for every decision and every action that we make in our life, we no longer have a foundation and basis for truth. And we let our course of life be determined by the latest idea, the most recent magazine article or periodical or latest discovery becomes very educational. Jesus said, beware of the yeast of Herod. Beware of the yeast of Herod and of the Pharisees. So I like how Jesus describes himself in Revelation 2. He describes himself as the one who comes with a double-edged sword in his mouth. David, keep your Bible open. You want to read Hebrews 4, 12 through 13? Hebrews 4, 12 through 13.
For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
I like that association of scripture with the one who comes with the double-edged sword in his mouth to judge the nations. The one who says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And in the end, there will be the Word. And the Word comes with a double-edged sword, being able to divide joint and marrow. He divides the sheep from the goats.
Come on.
The Word is Jesus. And as Brad said, he was talking last week about how sometimes there's like, we separate spirit people and word people, and we forget that it was the Spirit who breathed the Word. Who else has their Bible open? Dan. You want to read 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 16? Sure. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 16.
But don't let it faze you. Stick with what you've learned and believe. Sure of the integrity of your teachers. Why? You took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live in God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us.
Good. Brad, do you want to read the same scripture in your translation?
Yeah, what verse did you start at?
2 Timothy 3, 14 through 16.
Yep. But you must continue in the things which you learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
So this book right here didn't originate with man. And that's really important for us to understand, because it's a common belief that there are just so many errors over time and translations and changes, and you need to know what the Word of God is and how it was formed and why it's not just a book. So actually the whole Old Testament, from what we have from Genesis to, was it Malachi? You have to understand, that was already formed and considered scriptures before Jesus was even born. When Jesus came back to the earth and he's walking with the men on the road to Emmaus, he opens up the scriptures and he starts telling them everything that was written about him. And he appears to his disciples when they're gathered in the upper room, and he walks through the walls. He says in Luke 24, 44, "These are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And when Jesus was able to declare the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, scripture, I'm going to go with what he is kind of ordained and suggested. Everything that's written about him. In the Acts, it says that the people, when they were gathering, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the breaking of bread, and to worship and to prayer. And there's not one book in the New Testament that they didn't include if it wasn't somehow associated to the apostles or someone who was with them. And you might hear of other books and be like, well, why was that one left out? Why was that one left out? Well, if there was any doubt that it wasn't scripture or wasn't connected to the apostles, they left it out. I've heard a couple different stories. And I know that everyone has, like, their own testimony. But I've heard stories about houses burning down. And they go through, like, the rubble and everything's burnt. Except they, like, find a Bible that was untouched. And that's actually been, like, I've heard that testimony, like, more than once. From a couple different people. And it just makes me wonder whenever I hear it. Just like, wow, that's really cool. God would preserve his word. I had a friend, his name was Patrick. How he came to Jesus. He was having a party at his house. And had a bunch of friends over. And he was basically like, they were smoking weed and drinking. And he was just like being tormented by demons. And he had everyone leave his house. And he was just troubled. He couldn't see anything. Everything was all blurry. And he opens up a Bible, and the only things that he could actually see were the words on the page in front of him. Like, everything else around him was blurry. His atmosphere is blurry. The people who left his house is all blurry. And he didn't even read it, but the fact that he opened the Bible and he looked down, it was just like words clear on the page. It was the only thing he could read. And I watch God, like, validating and protecting his word. And I know people have different, like, stories of the word in their life, or the word has transformed them. And when you read it, you can feel it. Because the word is his voice. I think everyone knows that I'm 6 months pregnant. Whenever you're pregnant, you have really weird dreams. All the time. And they're not like God dreams. It's just like, why am I dreaming these things? It's like, God, I want to dream from you. I just end up having a bunch of weird dreams. But one of these weird dreams that happened one night, I was given this Mustang. Oh, it was a car. Yeah, Anna would have wished for the horse, but I was given this Mustang, and I don't remember how, but I was like, yeah, cool. And I get in it, and I'm with someone, and I drove it over this cliff. You know, like, this car became like a tank in my dream. So, and Ben and I had a rental car that was a Mustang in Hawaii, and it's not a tank. We got it stuck several times. We just bottom out, and you know, it's better to have a 4x4. But so I'm driving it over this cliff, and the rocks are scraping on the bottom of the car as I'm driving, and I'm like, oh, I make it to the bottom. I'm just like, I hope the car's okay. Made it to the bottom, driving, and in the dream, I all of a sudden, like, start driving through the ocean, and all of a sudden the car is like being filled with water, but it's still going. And I'm like, oh man, I hope the car keeps running. And I get to the beach and, you know, like, it's just, this poor car is just being dragged through everything and I don't know why it was still going. I get to where I'm going and there happens to be, you know, like it finally kind of like sputters and shuts down. And someone comes out to me and we're looking at the damage and kind of assessing it. And they're like, yeah, it's about $10,000 in repairs or something like that. And I was like, oh man. Oh, well, I got it for free. And I felt no regret because it was just like, I got it for free. And I woke up and I realized that's my attitude.
Come on.
Wow.
I was like, man, the things I get for free, I have so much of a lesser value for.
Come on, Jessica.
I don't take as much care of them. I don't treat them like, I didn't save up for it. I didn't work for it. Things I get as Christmas presents, like, you know, because I don't know the cost, and I don't know, like, what someone paid for something, it's really good for me to know the price of something, so if it's expensive, I should know, because I'll take better care of it. Like, my mom bought me this, like, $75 journal one time. It's like, I'm glad you told me this price, because I'm only going to put something really important inside of here. But that's my attitude. And I don't want to be that way with the Word of God.
Come on.
Because there are people who paid a really high price for it. And for people who aren't that familiar with church history, or things that have happened over time, people didn't always have this book in front of them. You know, it was written in Hebrew and Greek. The Roman Empire spoke Latin. It's around 300 AD, it was translated into Latin. And then you had nothing. For 1,000 years, people didn't even speak Latin anymore. You know, Germans come in, different countries come in and conquer the Romans. Different languages are exposed. Now the people aren't even, they're speaking French, they're speaking German, they're speaking Dutch, Chinese, all these different languages are spoken and there's no word of God because it's kept in Latin and in Greek and Hebrew and no one knows how to read it except the elect. Except for the few, except for the schooled. And so all the common people are just dependent on whatever, you know, whatever the church leader says is the way it is. You know, that must be what the Word of God says. You know how easy it is to be abused when you don't have the Word? And every good thing can be twisted. Like things that started off as really good. Things that started off as like a way of good leadership for governing a city. Where there becomes like a head presbytery, like, you know, a head elder. You know, there's a group of elders, and then they developed like a head elder, and then it became like the Pope was the head of the heads. And there just became this hierarchical structure where someone could easily twist scripture, and it became this power struggle where all of a sudden the select few had this ability to excommunicate people from the church. If you don't do what we say, or if you don't align with our beliefs, we tell you that you don't have salvation. And the whole world believed them. Because no one had the Word of God to read. No one had the Word of God to know the truth. And they're just held in bondage by what they hear. They're held in fear. And you could come up with a bunch of things. I mean, they even started a, you know, when they needed to raise money for a church. Hey, if you really want to, like, save one of your dead ones, like, you can give money and they'll come back, you know, or they'll go to heaven and they'll get, it's like a get out of hell free card. Yeah. This was, like, a real thing.
Yeah.
They start fighting against each other. And what used to be like the transforming power of God was just unknown and silent. So this is just like a little clip of history. You guys know, you've heard of like the Wycliffe Bible translators. Translate Bibles all around the world now for people who don't have it in their language. There's a guy called John Wycliffe in the 1300s, where it's funny that the only people who could read were like the scholars, because they went to college, they learned Latin. And so they're starting to read the Bible and they're starting to think, well, maybe the Pope is wrong. And Mr. Wycliffe throws out this idea that the Pope is not the head of the church, that Jesus is. That shouldn't be such a revolutionary idea. He was labeled a heretic. Went into hiding for a while. They tried to just ignore him and suppress his ideas and his teachings because they were dangerous theology. They thought maybe Jesus is the head of the church. Maybe it's only through him that we're saved. There was a guy after him named John Huss who read some of his materials. John Huss wasn't as suggestive as Wycliffe was. Wycliffe actually did some like Bible translation, was trying to translate the Bible for people for the first time into English so they could read it. John Huss read some of his things. But it started to get out of hand because now people are starting to think that Jesus is the only way. So they have to start the Inquisition. That anyone who believes other than what they say is burned at the stake. John Huss had such a conviction in his heart for the truth that he's standing there. You can read about him if you read like any of the records of the Voice of the Martyrs. He's being burned at the stake. He's being like interrogated, and he's pleading with the people, with the leaders who are in charge. He's saying, like, show me through scripture the error of my ways. Show me in scripture. Show me in scripture, like, why you believe what you believe, but I can't recant truth. And he's so convicted about truth that he gets burned at the stake for it. And he's not the only one. It was person after person after person that starts to go through this inquisition. There's also a guy named William Tyndale. If you hear of Tyndale Publishing Company, they print a lot of Bibles and Christian literature. But he decided he was really fed up because he was reading the scriptures as well. Again, he was a professor, was reading it in Latin. And these ideas about Jesus being the head was spreading, and through Christ alone. And he got really fed up with the knowledge that like priests didn't even know what the scripture said. Like a lot of them didn't even know like the meaning of Latin. They could just read it and people come to Mass and then they leave. And he told them, if God keeps me alive long enough, I'm going to make it so a boy behind the plow will know the scriptures better than you do.
Come on.
And he went into hiding. And he translated from the Latin and Greek, or from the Greek and Hebrew, he translated it into English and started smuggling. The very first Bibles that were ever smuggled were actually English Bibles in cotton bales from Germany to England. Wow. He had to go into hiding, so he's hiding in Germany, smuggling out these scriptures because he has a heart for his countrymen to know the truth and have the truth set them free. So again, it's during the time of the Inquisition, and they say, you know, someone came to him and was like, hey, we want to hear you out, like, come and give your argument before us. But actually, it was just a trap, and he too was burned at the stake. And it's also during the time of Martin Luther. So it struck me as we were worshiping, just because these are things I've been reading about, like, this whole last week. And I guess I should finish my thought first. So William Tyndale, when he's being burned at the stake, it's recorded that his last words were, God, open the eyes of the King of England.
Wow. Did somebody come strangle him? Somebody strangled one, somebody that was being burned at the stake while they were preaching while they were being burned.
Yeah.
Came up and strangled. I don't know who.
I think it might have been Tyndale. But he prays his prayer, God, open the eyes of the King of England. He was burned like 1536, 1604. King James issues that the King James Bible be written, that every person in his country could read it. That there would be a hired person put in every church so that every person in the countryside who couldn't read could hear it.
Come on.
And for when Brad talks about living inside the answer of someone else's prayer, there are more prayers than one that got prayed for us.
Come on.
So this was a costly thing. It cost people their lives. So while we were worshiping, you know, I've been reading about this all week. You know, and Saria starts singing the song, May the Lamb Receive the Reward of His Suffering. And I'm thinking, man, this is the same time frame. 100 years later, William Penn leaves to go to Pennsylvania because he read the truth of the Word of God and said, let the nations have a holy experiment. Let them have a precedent. The time that Martin Luther would spend trying to translate the Bible into German before people would capture him. It's only 100 years later that the Moravians are sending out missionaries to every end of the world. And I have this book in front of me, and there are days I don't wake up and read it. Things that people died and gave their life for, that we would be set free. And that we would know the truth. We would know who Christ is, we would know the finished work of the cross, and we would know who we are in Christ. So now, this Wycliffe Bible translation estimates there's about somewhere between 6,500 and 7,000 languages in the world. 550 have the whole Bible. But you have about 1,500 who have like pieces of the New Testament or like pieces of scripture. But only 550 have the whole Bible. And Jesus says, when he opens the scriptures and says, everything about me was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. I don't know how many English translations we have. We got like from the Passion translations to Ubonic translations to like, we got every kind of translation in the world there is. If you go to Morocco or an Arab country, you won't find it written in Arabic. They're not allowed to sell it. In China, it's only if you're registered with the Communist Church government, where they control everything that you're learning. The underground church isn't allowed to have access to it. In North Korea, if you're caught with the scriptures, with a Bible in hand, you're actually punished to the third generation. Like, it's not just you, it's your family, and then to the third generation. History's not that long ago. History's today.
Come on. Wow. Wow.
So what I want to impart to you guys is just a value for what you have in front of you. I know we can read it on our phones at any time. But that this book that's in front of me is worth a lot. It's a pearl of great price. It has the power to raise the dead. It has the power to raise us. Psalm 119, I mean, it talks, the whole thing is just like about the word of God and the law. But David says, let me run in the path of your commands, for you've set my heart free. Let your statutes be my guide. Let your word keep me from deception.
Yeah.
God, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. For your word is the light into my path. It's the lamp for my feet. I'm just going to pray for us. I'm going to pray, but if you want to pray after me,
yeah, come on.
I'm just going to ask us to be silent for a little bit. Just for you to engage God. And be free to speak out. Father, we thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you, God, that you are the God of the ages, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end. You're God of the past, the present, and the future. You're God who is more than able not just to keep his word, but to preserve it, to perform it, to protect it. You say, not one dot or tittle will pass away. So I just pray right now for a holy reverence for your word. I pray for hunger, God, that you will burn in us a gratitude and a hunger that leads us to holiness. That leads us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Pray that there would be a desire in our heart when we wake up in the day. That we would be with, I need the word of God. I need the word of God. God, that I would hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That it would be hidden in there. And I'm not reading it because I need to know an answer for the day. I'm reading it because I want to hide it in there so that I might not sin against you. I want to hide it in there so that I can be everything that you've called me to be. That I could walk in holiness and I could walk in righteousness.
Jesus, we thank you that you are the head.
Yeah.
And that we are the body. We thank you that we are saved through you alone. And it's not dependent on me, or it's not dependent on anyone else. But you. We pray that your word would be the core of who we are. That it would be sweeter than honey. That it would be our daily bread. It would be the sword with which we fight. And that we would not be ashamed of the gospel.
Come on.
We would have no fear of man.
Yeah,
we would not feel like we need to blend into our culture. We would not feel like we need to tone down your truth, that someone might not be offended.
Turn up your truth.
I pray that your truth would offend.
Yeah, come on.
Pray that your truth would convict us into righteousness.
Yeah.
And as we speak it, and as the words come off of our lips, and as they come off of our tongue, that it would bring people into conviction. That would be like a seed that's planted in soil, that when a conversation ends, it actually doesn't leave.
Come on.
Pray that your words, God, would be more valuable than mine.
Come on.
You know? Everything I know about you, everything I've learned about you has been through this word. Like, it's this word that's alive in my spirit. It's this word that taught me how to have a spirit.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
It's your word, God. It's your word. It's like, I just remember, like, whenever I was alone, my mother and father forsook me before I had friends, like, and I was new to the faith. It was just me and your Bible under a stairwell and a door. And just like, you just speaking truth over me, and you just teaching.
Come on.
It was early
Come on.
Mornings, God, at 5 a.m, like just waking up and just being with you on my knees, and just like a child opening a present with like, what are you going to teach me today? Like,
Come on.
It just shot out at me, God. It just shot out, and it was like glee and joy. And I know that your word has protected me, and I know that your word has guided me. I know that your word has stewarded me and steered me through life, and has protected me and has kept me and has called me and has urged me and pushed me and convicted me, Father. And I just forget. And I just forgot, Lord. And I'm sorry for forgetting. And then it's like, I get mad whenever like I'm not experiencing you in certain ways or in new ways, but it's like, I'm losing that foundation. It's like I've left behind that foundation. I'm sorry, God. So, Father, I just pray that you would like, that we would just put our faces in the book, Lord.
Yeah.
That we would just do it. That we would, like, I know that you always meet us there. You will always meet us,
yeah.
God. You will always meet us. But I just pray, God, I put a target on each person in here who is going to put their face in the book, Lord, for a special grace, God, in the coming weeks for, like, the words to just jump off the page, Lord, for, like, Holy Spirit, that you would just enliven and enlighten and enrich, God, that, like, that you would just bring them to the surface, those words, that each day would be a piece of manna, Lord God. Each day would be an apt and timely word, right? It's like an apple of gold in a setting of silver. That each day we would open your pages and it'd be a word just for us, just for Doug, just for Jamie, just for David, just for Amy, Lord God. A word that is like an apple of gold in a setting of silver. Something that shines so much more bright, so much differently than everything else around, Lord God, that would just inform our hearts and the way that we're supposed to live out that day. Something that gives us a new level of connection to you that we wouldn't have had otherwise, Lord God.
Come on. Yeah, Jesus, I repent that you are the Word. And I don't look at you as much as I could. So now at the beginning was the Word, and the Spirit moved, God, should be so. You're the Word, God. Your Word is His voice.
I repent of selfishness. I repent of pride. I repent of selfishness when I read the Word that I think that I'm the only one being blessed by me reading it. You want to bless the nations. I repent of pride. Any pride and any knowledge of the Word that does not lead to the revelation of love, God, I don't want.
Yeah.
I don't want anything inside the church where we're comparing our revelation to each other and we're one-upping each other with revelation. I don't want any more, God. And I don't want those complex revelations, that intellectual revelation that a little child, a simple child, cannot understand. I want the simplicity of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Give us Jesus.
There's blood on His Word. There's a fight going on. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to live my life like there's not a war for this Word going on.
Yeah.
There's deception. There's sin in the church. And the Word is the only thing that can purify. The Word is the only thing that can set your children free. I'm going to pass these things on to sons and daughters. I'm going to pass these things on to sons and daughters. Proverbs, it says that you would know these wise sayings and teachings that you can pass these on to sons and daughters.
Yeah.
I want to be a father like Brad and Todd and Georgie. I want to be a father like these men of God. But I'm not gentle. I'm not gentle, oh God. Bring me into it, oh God. Bring me into the holy fire. I don't care what I look like. I don't even want my eyes to be on me anymore. I don't want my eyes to be on me anymore. I want my eyes to be on Jesus, only Jesus. You are the cornerstone, you are the chief. You are the chief among the thousands, you are the beauty of it all.
Come on.
I am ugly and hideous in your sight, but I'm not cleansed by your blood. Purified and made holy by the truth of your Word, oh God. And I don't want it to be a moment, I want it to be alive. I don't want it to be a moment, I don't want it to be alive. I don't want to be moved by emotions. I want to be rooted and grounded in your Word. I want to be a mature man in your Word. I want to eat the head of Satan. You told me to eat this meat. You told me to eat the head. You told me to eat the revelation of victory. And I see it in Todd's life. I see it in Jordan's life. I see it in Brad's life. I'm going to walk in this victory of God. I'm going to walk into this victory, oh God. Because I know that His head was cut off at the cross. I know that His head was cut off at the cross. And it's a lie that He has any power. It's a lie that He has any power. He has no power at all. Only the power I've given to Him because I didn't know your Word, oh God. I didn't know your truth.
Yeah, God, we ask right now that you would come at us. God, we just pray right now. I'm going to pray this for me, and I want to really encourage you to listen to this word from Hebrews chapter 4 that was read. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and marrow and of joints, of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God, we say, come at us with a sword. Come at us with a living word. God, I repent. I repent for me. I repent for my house. God, I repent for my father's house. God, where we have been afraid, yeah, where we've allowed a fear of being seen as religious to keep us from radical obedience. God, we just pray. I just pray that there would not be a time in my life where I would allow a fear of being seen as religious from keep me from just saying yes to you, from saying yes to what your word is. And God, even if I don't understand completely what your word says, I just pray that what I don't understand would never be a reason for me not to say yes to you to what I do understand. God, we ask right now. God, we ask that you would increase our love and our passion. Yeah, the law of supply and demand. God, we ask. God, we ask, God, because there's just so much supply. There's just so little demand. But God, we say, create a demand in our heart. Create a demand in our heart for more. For more love for your word. For a radical love for the word. Listen to Psalms 138. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and you made me bold and strength in my soul. And God, we pray right now that we would understand. Yeah, every place where the enemy has sown into our culture, where there's a separation between those who walk with God and those who walk in the Word. God, we just say that your Word is life. And God, I think that what Jesse has spoken to us tonight is really true. And we just say, God, we're just not even altogether aware, aside from your Spirit showing us, God, how the culture around us affects the culture inside us. And we ask you right now, God, that you would just increase our love for your word, God, that we would just be drawn to the two-edged sword. I just encourage you to invite the two-edged sword into your life. Just say, God, come and show me. Come divide. Come divide my soulish thoughts. Come divide soul and spirit. Come divide joint and marrow. Come and reveal the difference between my thought and the intent of my heart. God, come and show me where I think my heart is one place, but it's actually someplace different. Yeah, God, may we never use the freedom of the Spirit to keep us from the radical obedience to the word that He breathed. May we never use freedom in the Spirit to excuse us from the freedom that comes in the truth of the word that the Spirit breathes. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Jesse laid out really good, and I just feel like we just need to spend time repenting tonight. I think it's good to repent individually, and I think it's good to repent together. Because this is one of those times where I think this is like true in our individual lives. This is also true culturally in this city and in this nation. Yeah, we get really upset when people, like, yeah, I just like just say, like, it's ridiculous to allow the abuse of the gifts of the Spirit to keep us from practicing it. And it's equally as ridiculous to allow the abuse of how people have used God's word to manipulate it, to keep us from avoiding it. And some people have used the word to, like, impose manipulation and control on people's lives. But the word of the Lord is true, and it's right, and it's righteous, and it's altogether lovely. So every place, when Jesse was talking earlier, where we've allowed the philosophies of this age, where we've said, maybe we just need to be more open. God, we just say your word is the foundation. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. You've magnified your word. Yeah, God, I just even confess. I don't even know what that means. That you have magnified your word above all your name. You say that your name is above every other name. That there's a name that at that name every knee would bow and every tongue would confess, and you've elevated your word above that. God, I don't understand it, but I want to be in line with it. Now let's just take time to repent together tonight, and then you ask God, God, come and consume me with a zeal for your word. Consume me with a passion for your word.
This sermon could not have come at a better time. For a while, I've been actually at the end of the semester, I started, you know, taking scripture more seriously, and I really tried to memorize scripture, and I really want to dive deeper into that. And then I had finals, and I kind of put my Bible aside, like, I don't really have time for this. And I've been feeling very dry in that ever since I stopped. And I got home, and I told my family, I was like, yeah, for a while, so, you know, really memorizing scripture, and it was good. And I don't want to do that anymore. I was kind of like, this is awful. And I was like, well, and then I was battling with the question of, well, what's the significance of the Bible? Like, why do I need to memorize the scripture in this, this sermon really changed everything. And I'm going to really start reading a lot. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it didn't fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who has authority and not as their teachers of the law. Powerful stuff. Awesome. Thank you, Jess.
So while you were speaking and reading that verse, I just got this vision of, like, what if Jesus had thrown sand at the devil instead of rocks? And how, like, the word is the rock, and sand is broken up pieces of the rock. But, like when Jesus was tempted, he, like, spoke straight scripture to the enemy, and the enemy was defeated. And, like, if Jesus had thrown sand at the enemy, like, he wouldn't have been defeated. And so that just really hit me. Like, what are we throwing at the enemy? Are we throwing rocks or are we throwing sand? If we want to see the enemy defeated in our lives, we better be throwing rocks.
Yeah, I was just reading from John 17, the high priestly prayer where Jesus is talking to the Father before he goes to be arrested, and he says, I'm not of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, he's talking to the Father, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. I believe that, I think I'm reading it right, but he's talking about like being in the world, but not of the world, and that God the Father protects us by the truth. Not that we have to be taken out of the world, but by we're protected. Our Father protects us from the evil one by the truth. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Yeah. Just want to share.
So 11 years ago, I got these two tattoos on my arms. That's a cross and a stone. And I was thinking about it earlier today before any of this was talked about. And I was like, well, why don't I ever look at it like I used to, like when I'm reaching out to people and talking to people in my daily life? And it was just symbolizing 11 years ago, it's easy to just kind of forget about it with my other tattoos and everything else going on in my life. And everything that's gone on today, what we hear but don't realize is perfection. God's plan is perfect. And we take the word for granted sometimes, I think, in our daily law and our daily struggles. And when he's there to, we're to use this. I've had this around me my whole entire life. I can't even remember the first time I've seen a Bible because it's been in front of me. And the past like 3 weeks, I've really been delving into it more and more. And when I opened up while you guys were all talking, you know, everyone was talking up here and giving testimony and everything, I opened it up and there it was again, and it was that, just say, read my word, it's perfect. My plan for you is perfect. I don't know why we wouldn't want it any other way. I don't know why we wouldn't want it any other way. I don't know why we would want to be distracted. But here on earth, this is all distraction. We need to bring heaven here because there's people suffering out there. My mom's suffering right now. And everyone just needs to come into agreement with everything that's here on earth, that heaven's coming down here. And heaven's going to follow us on our shoulders. God's with us. And we have his word as our sword, as our shield. Please armor yourself, not just when we're here, not just when we're thinking about it in the morning, not just during our quiet time. Let's do this, guys. Look around you, how big of a group we are. There's nothing like this in Florida, and there's so many places here on earth that we need to stretch out to. Let's live. That's our purpose.
Yeah. Jesse, there's this verse in Revelation 19. Chapter 11, where he says, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Talking about Jesus, and when he returns back in the last battle for just to crush everything, all of evil, to bring ultimate justice and to restore us. The name that he chooses to identify himself as is the Word of God. And that word is faithful and true. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God proves true. And like those, he's a refuge for those who hide in him. And I just really agree with Lori's word. Like, Lord, I just thank you that your word is twofold, that it is a defense, that it is a barrier, it is a rock, it is a refuge, it is a fortress for us, it is a solid foundation that will, if we practice it, if we do it, Lord God, it will keep out those storms, that our house, what we build on your word, if we're practicing your word and we're putting it into practice, like nothing, no matter what the enemy comes against us, no matter what trials and tribulations of life happen, like our house will not collapse, Lord God. But it is also offensive. It is also an offensive thing that your word, every word of God proves true, Lord God, that when we speak, into the existence, when we're coming against the enemy, right? So the gates of hell shall not prevail against the kingdom of God. And I just pray, Lord God, that we would take this opportunity in this repentance, Lord God, to put you to the test, Jesus, that we would trust and we would learn that you are faithful and true, Lord. And that, like, the reason why there's that house that was built on the rock, like, the only way that happens is because they obeyed. They put those words into practice, Lord God, and that we would take the opportunity to put you to the test, Lord. But it doesn't have to be this scary thing, this overwhelming thing, but that it's like, man, your word's going to prove true. Like, your word is pure. It's going to prove true. Your word says already, we know that you're going to prove true. We know that what you promise is going to happen, is going to come to pass, Lord God. And so that we can have faith in our obedience in, like, doing that, Lord God, in speaking those promises over our life, in digging into your scriptures and allowing that truth to carve our hearts into a more accurate depiction of what Jesus' heart is like, that we're able to, like, trust that you're going to do it and fulfill it because your word proves true, Lord God. And so I just pray, Jesus, that we would have this, like, revelation tonight as a body of you as, like, the Lord of Lords, with the King of Kings, with the crowns on your head and the fire in your eyes and the robe dipped in blood and the sword coming out of your mouth. And when we attach that, the byline, right, the caption to that picture, that image of glorious returning King Jesus would be the Word of God. Would be the Word of God, the Word of victory, that we would attach the Word of God to victory in our lives and in the lives of those around us, Lord God. And I just pray that you would teach us new ways, teach me new ways, Lord God, to apply your Word to my life in areas where I've been broken and I've been walking in defeat and failure, but that I would be able to then bring victory, the victory of God, the living King Jesus with the sword and the fire into those areas through your word. In areas in my family where people are broken and hurting and lost, in friend groups where people are broken and hurting and lost, that we would begin to bring and speak your word, that picture of Jesus, that picture of Jesus as a conquering king returning home with justice and fire, Lord God, that we begin to speak that into those situations, God, into those people's lives, and know that your word is going to prove true. And know that your word is going to conquer the darkness in those situations and bring life and love and justice to those people, God, and to those hearts and to the hurting and to the lost, Lord God. And I thank you that we have a unique relationship with your word as sons and daughters, where we actually, like, we believe it, right? And we get the opportunity to actually speak it, because if we know it, we can speak it, but we can't speak what we don't know, Lord God. And so I just pray for that increased hunger, and that, like, you would give us small, like a breadcrumb, just a trail of breadcrumbs to even something sweeter, Lord God, that we would say, wow, here's a testimony. I prayed and the Lord worked in this way. Wow, here's another testimony. I prayed and the Lord worked in this way. Wow, here's another one, Lord, so that we would just begin to follow you on this trail of just testimonies of seeing your word work marvels and just wonders in our life and the lives of those around us. That's my prayer for us tonight in Jesus' name, God.
And one more thing. I'm, like, while looking around here, people are shaped, people are anxious. People feel this. You all feel this. I just want to stand up here and just start. Let's all just pray at the same time like we did the other week. And that was so powerful. I felt it to the core of my soul. But let's all, you know, in tongues, out loud, just for a minute, even if it's just a minute, and just feel that power that's here right now. Okay, so.
Jesus. Yeah.
discipline.
Yeah. Come on.
Acknowledge
this. Come on.
Just as a moment of like, this is proof that we're sons and daughters.
Thank you, God.
This is proof that we're sons and daughters. Just thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's like so gentle yet so firm. Thank you for your discipline for us, God.
Come on.
Thank you for raising us up, for inviting us further into maturity. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I pray there would be no, opportunity for us to be like comparing or competing to see who knows the best, but that we would just all just like marinate in your truth together.
Yeah, come on.
Just let us marinate in your truth together, that we would just like, it would just fill us, that we would literally just become, we would just become what the Bible says. We would just become the church of God. We would become the bride of Christ. We would just totally live worthy of the calling to which you've called us.
Yeah.
Just really convicted as we were talking. I just want to repent for even thinking that my life is even about me. That my free time is my free time, and that my job is my job, and that my relationships are my relationships. Because everything that's been given to me has been given to me by God, and my life is not about me. The free time that I choose to spend and do whatever I think like I need. And while I leave my Bible shut, it's not even about me.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God, I join with Melody's repentance. God, we say our life, my life is not about me. God, it's not about creating comfort for me. It's not about creating safety for me. It's not about creating stability for me. God, we can't say I surrender all and then hold back to what works out for me. God, we say let our hearts burn as we walk with you and as you open up your word to us and you reveal yourself to us. Let us say to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't our hearts burn within us when he walked with us? May we recognize you in the sound of the breaking of the bread, God. Come and break those, God. Give us this day our daily bread, God. Put a cry in our heart, God, for daily bread. Yeah, God, we confess, God, yeah, why would we want it any other way? Why would we want it any other way? We are not of this world. We are not of this world, God. Your word tells us that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Forgive us for every place where we've created friendship with the world. God, just forgive us for desiring friendship in our bank accounts. God, and forgive us for desiring friendship and like self-fulfillment. God, maybe we may not be satisfied by fulfilling our dreams. God, we want to fulfill your word. God, we want to fulfill your word. We want to experience your word, God. So God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, can we all stand together and let's just pray this together. Yeah, God, we ask that this week, God, we would be led into encounters with the mirror of your word. God, we pray that we would not become a forgetful hearer, God. We would not just be hearers of the word, but we become obedient doers of the word. We become beers of the word, God. I just want to affirm the word that we heard tonight, God. Don't we forget who we are? It's either because we don't know what your word says or because we forgot it. So God, we ask that as we come into line with the mirror of your word this week, God, bring us into encounters with the mirror of your word this week, God, that we would be faithful hearers of your word. I want to ask you guys, like, this is the first of several parts that we've been feeling and praying into for the last 6 weeks or so. And we're going to spend the next several weeks just like asking God to create a greater value for His Word in our lives. Can you just pray that right now? God, create a greater value for Your Word in my life. Create a greater value for Your truth in my life. Come and separate my life with Your living Word. Come and separate my life. Come and separate, Jesus. Your truth. Yeah, God, we just say tonight, Lord, it's just to the next level. We pray, God, that there be no thoughts that we think about You that are not what You're thinking about You. And equip us by Your Word. I'm telling You, Your worship will be sweeter as You dive into the Word, because you'll see things in Him that you haven't seen before. And Your prophetic will be stronger in you, because you'll know the sound of His voice. Yeah, that Your love will be pure, because it'll be conformed more to the standard of His Word. Yeah, God, we just say, come and convict us for places that we think that we're in alignment. Yeah, you don't go to the chiropractor and he said, what version of alignment would you like to be in today? Would you choose option A, B, or C? There's not a bunch of different options. God, bring a radical alignment with Your truth. Bring a radical alignment with the man Jesus revealed in the Word. And God, prepare our hearts. Prepare our hearts. Yeah, God, because there is only one who is worthy. Yeah, so over the next several weeks, we're just going to be asking God. And I ask you just to take time this week. Try to, you know, like right now, if you have to, get your phone out and set an alarm. Set an alarm so you can have time to ask God, what do I believe about Your Word that is not true? I just want to confess and repent to you guys. I want to pray into it more. I just grew up in a place where I heard the Word so much, and I didn't see it lived out. I just like became like, I want to know how to live the Word before I just learn it more. And I still believe it's important to live the Word out, but I repent to you that in a place of like wanting to live it out, like I haven't been the learner of the Word that I need to be. And I want to live it and learn it. I want to eat it, and I want it to be my life. Yeah, we study to show ourselves approved, not just to know something. And I want to ask you to take time and space to get into the Word this week, but also, God, what is it I think about Your Word, or what is it I don't think about Your Word that's not into alignment with You? And then in the next couple weeks, we're just going to be digging in deeper, saying, God, come. And I want us just to finish the time with some worship. But I just, yeah, God, I just pray that the wrecking ball of the Holy Spirit would come and tear down every ungodly thought that we have in this area. And that, yeah, that You would come and, yeah, that the wrecking ball would come tear down what needs torn down. And God, that we trust You to come and construct what needs to be constructed. Come and build our lives on Your Word. God, Spirit of wisdom and revelation, come reveal Jesus to us. God, lead us. Lead us into a greater knowledge of You. I was going to say, even as we're worshiping, if you need to repent, if it's something you feel like needs to be done publicly, then you can wait, you can repent after we worship. But don't leave here. If there's something you need to repent of tonight, or something that's so good to respond to the Word with repentance. And so if you know it, there's an area of my life I need to repent of, then I just encourage you, because your repentance might shine light for something for someone else. How many of you had that happen tonight? That like when somebody else like repented or like said, hey, this is what's going on, it brought light into an area in your life. Guys, look it around. Like, raise your hands if that happened. Look around. We need the light of God that comes from repentance. We need to be just publicly confessing to each other as we see God changing our mind. Yeah, God, let's just pray this with me. God, we don't want to be conformed to this world. So, transform us by the renewing of our minds. Come and change our way of thinking. Cody, can we sing that song? Can we sing the "May the Lamb Receive"? Can we sing that? let's just worship with that together. If anybody else want to repent, if you need to go, go. If you can stay, I just encourage you. I think God is doing something right now. It's marking us. We ask you, can you just pray that with God? Come and mark us. God, come and mark us with a hunger for your word, that this would not be something we think about today and then resume normal tomorrow. God, we ask for a new normal. We thank you for every place that you brought us, but God, we don't want to just go back. We're not just satisfied to live off the manna, God, but you want to take us into the promised land. God, we're not okay with just getting by. When you want to take us into the place of promise, where the land flows with milk and honey.
Lord God. In you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I give this land to your offspring.
Thank you.
I just want to repent of valuing like the Rhema word of God over the Logos word of God, and valuing like living out of community more than kind of reading my Bible and just being in the Word. I just want my value system and my priorities to be lined up with what God has.
I also just want to repent of letting culture tell me more about who God is or what I should want for my life than God's word. Just like a testimony, like I see areas in my life and like relationships in my life where like the value of culture and what I've been watching in movies has made me want something that isn't what God wants for my life. And without community and without the Lord, like I would have missed out on the Lord's like best and the Lord's like what he wanted for me. If I've listened to culture and listened to the lies that culture was throwing at me.
I have a Bible, like I actually have two, but like I just like it sits there on my shelf or my dresser or my bookshelf, and I just don't read it for like weeks. And like I've heard stories like this year, me and my mom, we read stories about missionaries and people who gave their life for Jesus. And those stories were like people who gave their life for it to make the Bible. I just don't listen. Like I understand it, and like I know that people didn't have it for like thousands of years. But like I just didn't read it, and like I just don't read it right now. Like I can pray and prophesy for people, but like I don't really know what that means. Like I can pray for people and worship, but like I don't really know where it came from. Like I can memorize stories. Like I know the story of like Jesus washing the disciples' feet and like turning water into wine. But like those are, and like Jesus like dying on the cross and like those types of stories. But like I don't know what happened before and after those and during the gaps of the times. And like I just want to know like what it means to like be a follower of Jesus. And like to know what people did, and like to know that like I don't know, maybe like one or two of the Old Testament, and that's like all. And like I if I want to, I can read a whole chapter, like I can read a whole gospel in one day. I read 1 John in like 37 minutes. But like if I want to, I can, but I just like haven't, like I tell myself that I don't have the time, but like that's a lie. And like I do have the time to do it. Like instead of playing or writing or drawing or something, and those are stuff that like I can do, but I just put God and Jesus and the Bible second, and I cannot do that. Because I'm like, I need to know what it means to follow Jesus. Like, I don't know. Like, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But, like, I don't know what the disciples did. And, like, yeah.
Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. And I just repent for looking in the mirror and going away and forgetting what I'm like, what the word says about me. I repent for looking for a few minutes in the face of God and then going about my daily life and forgetting what I saw. And I just have been in a season where I can relate to what Jesse was saying, waking up in the morning and not feeling the presence of God. And the fear and the lie that's come against me has been that of like, well, if I go open my word, what happens if what I read doesn't really affect me enough? What happens if it doesn't change me enough? What happens if I still feel this way afterwards? And I just repent for that. Because the word of God is living and active and true. And it's power enough to shake me. And it's power enough to wake me.
I'm just thankful, like really humble, to even be like here with you guys. I remember there was times being at Haskell, Ben and Jesse came and visited, and all I wanted to do with them was read the Word. And all I wanted to do with them was worship Jesus. I remember in my car and I was listening to a song. And we were going to get out. We were going to hang somewhere. I said, "Can we just stay here for a moment? Can we just sit here a moment? Because I want to worship with you. I don't have anybody to worship with. I want to worship with you." And I'm just so thankful for you guys being here in my life. When I came out here, I had such a hunger to do this. I had such a hunger. I wanted to read the Word with you guys. And I went to the men in the community and I started asking one-on-one. I said, "Hey, let's read the Word, guys. All right, you set it up. All right. But I tell you, like, there's a lot of heart issues I was going through and I wasn't ready. I didn't want to lead anything either. You know, Brad, me and him, we talked about the pressure that I was under coming here. You know, being a leader the whole time at Haskell. I didn't want to step into a place of leadership amongst you guys. I want to be humble amongst you guys. I want to grow with you. And I want to be fed by you. I've noticed that some of you guys are ahead of me in a lot of areas. So I'm trying to humble myself to you and I want to learn from you in those areas. But I just want to submit something to the men in this community. I know they've had it in times past. I remember when I came out, David and Alex were doing it. And guys are getting together, Bible studying, and reading that word together. And that's what I want. I want to be like the Bereans. I want to search this truth out with you. Because it's been setting me free right and left. Setting me free from lifelong addictions. Things I never thought I'd ever be free from. But I don't want to stop there. God told me, he said, on this journey of grace, he says, I don't want you to set up camp when you receive grace fully in your heart. He goes, because there's a lot of other people in this world and they're going to need it. So even when all these breakthroughs are coming to my heart and this grace is coming to my heart, I don't ever want to forget that there's a lot of kids that grew up like me who are abandoned and isolated and lonely and rejected and all those kinds of things. I don't ever want to forget. I said, God, I want to be the answer to the cries and the prayers of at least one of those children. So I've been praying lately. I want to be the answer to the cry of at least one of those children because I was crying out for a Savior and you saved me. You were the only one in this world who heard the answer to my cries. My own earthly father never heard the answers of my cries. But anyways, I just want to submit to you, men, young men in this community, any of you have spare time to spare whatsoever. And I don't care. I'm at the point. I don't care. If I have to wake up at 7 in the morning for work, I'm going to set my alarm at 5 and I'm going to read the word. It doesn't matter. If I'm tired, if I'm hurting, it doesn't matter. My dad worked all his life, worked hard. His whole body's broken down. Woke up every day and went to work. Woke up at 4 in the morning, woke up at 5 in the morning. That was the sacrifice he made to put food on the table for me. My prayer has been, God, give me your strength that I may become a father like my father. or I may sacrifice like he sacrificed. So if it means us sacrificing our time, if it means us waking up early in the morning, then that's what I'm willing to do. But I need people to run with. I need people who are hungry for that word and want to read it with me. Will sacrifice their time. Because I want more of that truth.
Yeah.
I want it rooted so I'm unwavering. I've been tossed to and fro before. I've been tossed like a child. I don't want to be tossed like a child anymore. And so if we can maybe get a list going, men want to sign up for it, and also a list of days of the week, times of the week, and this way we can kind of organize that, see what time works best for the most of us. I understand we're all busy, but again, it's about sacrifice. You know, a lot of times I'm busy with my own stuff. Stuff that I wanted to do.
Just really quick. Guys, I'm so tired of seeing the devil run rampant in the lives of my brothers and sisters, and in my own life. Like, I'm so sick of having powerful, really, really powerful people who know Jesus come up to me with, like, demonic anxiety and, like, demonic fear that is, like, straight from the pit of hell. Like, people who, like... And, like, when we were singing, I gotta go deeper, it was just, like, in Corinthians, Paul says, like, I don't fight as one who beats the air. And like, this is so the key. It's like stepping out of that. And it's like, I feel like in my own life too, it's totally my own life too, but like in this value of like honesty, we've let our soul run rampant. And like not taking the reins and like girded it up ourselves with the word of God. With like this value for like being honest with what's going on in our heart. It's like we've lost this like fervent, radical, like devotion to stand on truth.
Come on.
And like that's not our life. That's not our life. That's not what we were created for.
Yeah.
And so like I just want to pray over myself. I want to pray over us as a community, like that. Yeah, Jesus, would you just come and release? Just come and release a grace to like understand that this is spiritual warfare. Like when we get up in the morning and we don't feel you on your word and we don't feel anything, God, that it is that there is war happening in the spirit realm that is protecting us and that is strengthening us, that we won't walk in fear, that we won't walk in shame, that we won't walk in confusion, that we won't walk in sexual impurity, like that we would understand like the reality that like this word shapes and forms like the atmosphere of our soul. It truly divides like our soul from our spirit, and it gives us foundation to stand on. Lord, would you like move in us? Like move in us to understand that. Move in us to value that. Move in us to value like your honesty and your truth above like the honesty of our hearts and like what we feel in the natural. That we would take control over what's happening in our emotions by the truth of your word. That we wouldn't walk in fear, that like anxiety would be, we don't need to like, I mean, getting prayer is good, and I want to pray for people, and I want people to pray for me. But like, we have the sword that can cut off the head of the enemy.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, and I repent for not doing that.
Yeah, God, we just pray that we would remember not to process what we need to take captive. Because that is so built into this culture. So built into this culture that we're going to be honest, we have to process every emotion, every thought. God, I just pray that you would just, I just agree with what Candace has prayed. I agree with it, God. Thank you for teaching us that we gird ourselves up with your truth. So, Jesus, we ask you that you would give us, just teach us, tutor our spirits, give us discernment, God. Yeah, that we wouldn't make friends with anxiety and process it, God. We wouldn't make friends with doubt. We wouldn't make friends with insecurity. We wouldn't make friends with orphan thoughts and give them space to develop and grow. But we would take them captive.
I just think it's really cool that, like, this is coming about as we've sought to grow in the prophetic. I just really sense, like, the Lord just really, like, inviting us to steward His Word. It's like, as we ask to hear His voice, it's like, man, this is such an opportunity to steward His Word, steward His voice. Just thank You, Father. Just ask You to forgive us for not stewarding things that You've spoken in Your
right.
Word.
Yeah.
Like, You've spoken so much in Your Word,
right.
And it's easy for us to want something that's more flashy than that. So just forgive us for the poor stewardship that we've had in the past. Just make us good stewards, God. And as we move forward, as we ask to hear Your voice, I pray that You would just increase our stewardship of Your Word. Increase our stewardship of Your Word.
Yeah, come on.
There's a chorus that I just want to sing. You guys sing this song, Be Not. Yeah.
Hold on, you can sing it.
I'll see it, sorry. You good?
The Word of God speak, you pour down like rain, washing my
of just really hating, community, and not wanting to be here and not wanting to give myself to you guys or fully because of lies I allowed to come in and hurt allowed to come in. So I just like want to repent for like believing that like I'm on the outside, and I want to repent for believing that like I'm not good enough and I'm not wanted. And I want to repent for not believing that I'm loved and cared for. And I am sorry, because I know you guys do love me.
It's not me, man.
Well, Alex.
Yeah. So. Jesus.
Yeah, come on. Jesus, thank you.
Thank you for the people here who have fought to love me, and to love each other, who have fought to forgive, and who have fought for you and relationships above hurt and pain. Thank you, Lord, for like fighting for each and every one of us and us all believing that we belong. And all of us believing that we are in the inside.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
Yeah, Jesus!
Thank you, God, that you are bigger. Thank you, God, that in your kingdom, in your arms, we all belong and we're all loved. So God, no longer will I allow lies to come into my heart or into my mind to tell me that I do not belong, that I am on the outside, that no one loves me or no one cares for me. I just like rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. God, it is like bravery in person in here who feels the same. That they are good enough, that they are loved, and that they belong, and that they are wanted. There is no room for rejection.
Come on.
Because as I forget who said, but that the devil is the only one who was rejected. Devil was the only one who was rejected.
Come on, bro.
Oh God, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you for your love. We thank you for fighting. Thank you, God.
More, God, more. Yeah, God, we say all the way, God, there be no box left inside of us. God, that we would not be allowed to live like outsiders or think like outsiders. God, we thank you for the beauty of your kingdom. God, we thank you for the beauty of your kingdom, of your rule and reign, God.
Look,
feel each other's hurt, feel each other's pain.
For we suffer with one another as one another suffers. Rejoice with one another as one another rejoices. We be intimately connected with our love. This is what we ask. Know the truth of your heart. The truth that we are all in you.
Lift our souls to the God.
Give us pure hearts.
I repent, God, and I walk past my Bible. All 10 of them on a daily basis. And God, even when I do sit and try to get in your word, just don't have the hunger. God, I have access to you 24/7 and I don't talk to you. I don't shut my mouth long enough to listen to you. God, I repent. Not putting you first. I used to identify myself as a worshiper.
Come on.
I can't think the last time I picked up my guitar and just worshiped you, God. God, I want the fire to burn in me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I confess of a fear of going up here and repenting out loud because I know there are people here that can hold me to it.
Come on.
And I know my history, not following through with things that I say are in my heart, the things that I say I want to do. I repent for constantly needing to perform. I repent of holding busyness up as an excuse for not falling at your feet on a daily basis.
Come on, Jesus.
I repent of all the opportunities that I've missed. I wasn't looking at you. I wasn't trying to see the world through your eyes. God, just give me a hunger and a thirst.
Yeah, come on. Come on. Yeah, yeah. Bless you, Jesus.
I want to repent that it's too easy to be on earth here and go to your local stores or businesses or around people that don't know Jesus, and that I just turn a blind eye and just walk a normal walk in this culture, in this sick world. Or I've said it earlier, we're suffering. I repent that my walk was at my terms instead of God's terms. My walk was exactly that, was. And it's easy to just fall back and say it's okay to fall back, but that's not what I want, and that's not what God wants. My repent today is I don't want to live like that, because that's not living. That's living with the dead. I died with Jesus.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
And when you die with Jesus, you're alive, and I want to bring the rest of the world with me. And
you're a pickle, come on.
So when I was 18, my first tattoo was actually, it's on my foot. And it's a cross, and I designed the whole thing myself, and it says He is love on it, and it has a heart around the cross, and it's supposed to be like my heartbeats for Jesus. And I thought if I got that tattoo, that meant that I can't turn back how I used to and go back and forth to Christianity and everything else. And that was bull crap, because right after I got the tattoo, I went back and said I believe in Buddhism again. I'm Buddhist again. Back and forth. Christian friends. I'm Christian. My other friends, I'm Buddhist. Back and forth, back and forth. And it wasn't until I went to the ministry school, and I first thought they were all on crack for getting wrecked by God and all that stuff, because I'm like, what the heck is going on? This prophecy thing is weird, and all this stuff. I thought prophecy was pastoring. I had no idea what it was. And I really got into it. And I really, really, really got into God. And I just would, like, ask Alfonso on our dates, I would just start screaming Jesus in the streets, not even caring what people thought.
I'd worship and dance and get into this. And then I got really hurt by the school. Really, really hurt by Christians. And when I left, I thought, I'm going to keep it with me. I'm not going to let this affect me. Well, I did. And I walked away from all of it. And still, I said I was a Christian, and I actually would tell people, and I'd be honest with that. But I didn't really walk it out. Like, I stopped prophesying. The first time I prophesied was the night Georgian was here, and he made me come up in front and prophesy. That was the first time I prophesied since for a year. First time I ever prayed for people, any of that stuff. I stopped it, because I thought, I got so hurt and got so bitter, so I'm like repenting, like that, like, I don't want to get back to that. Yesterday, I had an experience at that conference, and I hate conferences. I do, because of the Christian school and the conferences and the ministry schools and how hard-hearted I got towards it, because I thought, God can't touch real people here. Like, yeah, people get touched, they're the only people that can get touched, the people that aren't saved. But the people that are already saved, they just come here for the experience, they just want to get in the glory in that moment, but they really don't take it and try to change their life. That's what I saw. I saw people getting wrecked and in love with God, but then they go back to right how they were every day. And I didn't want that, so I kind of walked away from it. And I got to the point where it's like, all you want is a word from me, you don't want me. And I got a hard heart from that. But when I was, Todd White was speaking, and he had everyone stand up and pray for each other, well, I was just like, whatever, and I'm just standing there. And this girl from GCSM, or whatever it's called, Global Celebration, I can't pronounce it at all. I know we missed the letter. She came up, and she's hugging me, and she's not even praying for me. She's just humming. And he starts listing things, and it's one thing after another. Next, you know, I'm crying. And that was the first time I cried that much since ever. Maybe since I was like 13 and I'm 21, and that was the first time I ever bawled my eyes out for God. And it wasn't sad tears, it was happy tears, because it was like, holy crap. And I was crying out to God, I want to feel your love. And she's saying, God loves you, and it just kept hitting me, and I'm crying and I'm crying and I'm crying. And since then, it's like, since yesterday, it's like changed. And I was out in the back over there worshiping, dancing like how I used to. And it's like, I repent. I don't want to go back to how it was. I don't want that little freaking weekend to be that little experience to be go back to how I was. I don't want to go to the back where I put that mask back on, where I just go back to how I used to be. Like, when Alex did the thing, like, and he said the stuff that, like I said earlier about love and how the enemy, my voice matters. Like, for so long, I believe the freaking lies, but I'm saying this crap, and it doesn't matter. Then no one's actually hearing it. I'm just an empty voice. Because when I was at the conference, I had so many triggers hit. So many triggers were hit. Where this woman was yelling because of freaking French fry was on the ground. It wasn't my food. And she was yelling at me because she thought I put it on the ground. And I'm telling her over again, it's not my food. After 10 times of me saying it, she just kept yelling at me. My mom said it, and she listened to her, because I have purple hair, because I'm a teen, because of whatever she thinks. She didn't hear my voice. And so I keep, like, that stupid thought in my head, see, you don't matter. See, you're young. No one's going to listen to you. But it's like, through that conference, God was using me when I was like, I don't want to prophesy. I don't want to be used. And I got to, like, met a chick with the freaking Star Wars shirt. And she wore that shirt because God told her to, just to talk to me so I could tell her friends words. As we're all smoking cigarettes outside, and I had no idea. And I want to repent. Like, I don't want to go back to the lukewarm crap, because I got comfortable in not giving words and not praying and all this stuff because I was so hurt. I don't want to go back to that comfortability of my voice doesn't matter, so I don't want to say anything.
How's like, your eyes
now, Dale? Oh, yeah. After I was crying and fun, I opened my eyes and I was seeing colors like I never did before. And it's still the same. It's like I'm seeing people and I'm not seeing their crap. I'm seeing the good part of it again.
Yes.
And I haven't seen that in a long time. I didn't even want to come up front. Like, I was, like, freaking out. But, like, yeah, like, I don't want that tattoo on my foot to just be a tattoo. I want it to be, like, no, I testimony, I'm not going to walk away again. I'm going to walk forward rather than walk back. And so I just, like, want to keep accountable that I don't get to the point where it's like, okay, I listened to the crappy lies of not feeling like I didn't feel for so long, and I'm feeling happiness again. And I haven't felt happiness for a really long time. It was always fake crap.
And it's like, since I left that school, I felt like I lost everything of giftings and listening to God. I haven't heard God's voice in a while, but he was speaking through people again, and I haven't had that since a year ago. And so I just want to repent in the way, like, keep me accountable, that, like, call me out if I start going back to how I was. That I get back in the shell because it was comfortable. Yet, if the walk of Jesus was comfortable, then why would we need the comforter of the Holy Spirit? And so that's why it's like, I don't want to be in this little bubble anymore. I want to step out of my stupid bubble and be who I'm supposed to be rather than what everyone else says I should be, or conform to the stupid lies that I am stupid, that I have issues, that I can't learn, that I can't speak, that I can't read a Bible because the words just jumble up on the page, that, oh, you have history with drugs, okay, so you can't be around this stuff, or, oh, this. I'm not a mistake in whatever anybody ever said, and I'm believing that now. I'm stopped listening to the stupid lie. I'm repenting of listening to that freaking lie, that I'm a mistake.
Come on.
That I'm not beautiful, that I don't matter, that I'm not great in God's image, all that crap that I said up there, like, yeah, I believed in that moment, but really deep down in my heart, I haven't believed that in a long time. And I was told, you have a purpose, you're a miracle baby, but all that stuff, it's like the enemy got on my head, and it's like, no, you're not. Look what you just did. Look at the story you have. Look at this. And it's like, okay, that's not it. And it's not like I'm not going to go, like, I have to talk because my crap, so I have to, like, be brighter and talk about my crap anymore. I'm not going to talk, like, I want to repent of talking negative about myself.
Yeah.
Because if I'm talking negative about myself, then I'm talking negative about him, because he created me and I'm in his image.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of that. And he knows that too. He's been trying to get that in my head for a long time. And so, like, yeah, that's what I just want to say. So just help me with this, because this is really hard to step out. It's easier for me to sneak in the crowd and be like, okay, I don't want to prophesy, I don't want to do this. It's awkward. What if they don't like me? What if I have to say really doesn't mean anything? And it's like, I'm tired of being on the borderline of both. And so, yeah.
Try this out there because I really don't know what to do with it, but I think God kind of showed me God exposed a root. A lot of you guys don't even, wish you could have seen him before. He used to be a worshiper. He used to be a prophet. Fire. It was good. And I don't trust what's written in the Word. I don't trust it anymore. I think it cut me off at the knees. One of my closest friends who epitomized everything that I believed in the Word of God. I watched him die of cancer, and what seemed like wasn't a victory, when people make excuses, or I don't know, it seems like an excuse people make, they'll say things that supposed to justify what happened. Yeah, maybe I could use that justification, but then, you know, it's like all these men of God, I watched another man of God who was setting people, all these men free, men and women free of like their addiction to pornography and lust and stuff. And he was like, there's a message that just like set my friends free and watched him die of cancer, totally believing God was going to heal him. You know, there's other men too, it's like, I watched another man die of a weak heart and stuff. I was praying over him in the scripture, and he was like an advocate for the poor. God said, if you're an advocate for the poor, then he'd heal your disease. He died. And see stuff like Floyd. Oh yeah, great. He might talk one day. That's just great. You know, another advocate for the poor. I can't read the word. I read it, I get mad. I can't read it. I literally had to stop reading words so I wouldn't walk away from my faith. I'll just read, every once in a while, I'll just read a little bit. And I can read a little bit, or just like if I'm studying something, you know. I love history, so, I mean, it's great. So I love the historical significance of some of the stuff that's in there. I can't even repent, because that means I'm turning. I don't know that I can turn. I'm just tired of wasting my time. Another reason I keep putting one foot in front of the other is I know God is real. And I've watched Him do amazing things. I just can't trust them. I think some of you guys are naive for trusting them. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't even know what the... I don't know where to start. I haven't known where to start for a long time. Another time it's been a long time, since 2008. I mean, I feel little bits here and there. And one of them was when Jasmine was singing one night, and I'll never forget that. I mean, it's just like, I'm sorry, guys. I really thought I was going to plug in a lot more here and be a part of your lives more, but, you know, like, honestly, unless I can't do anything. I can't do anything without God. It's the one person I don't trust. And all my wisdom is foolishness.
open yourself up. You know, it's only going to get many blessings in your life. Yeah. Intimacy, the Holy Spirit that you've never had before.
Yeah.
So I just pray, God, that like this wall and this clay and this heart and surround this heart and Holy Spirit, that your love will just begin to peel back the layers, Lord. And that you just like, man, that he's going to find you in new ways and old ways like he's never had before. And I thank you that you've never abandoned your child. I thank you that you've never left your son, your friend, and that you still call him yours, and that you still hold him, and that you still choose Doug, like no matter what, you still choose him over anybody else because he's yours and you chose him, and nothing can change that. So I just bless my brother, Lord God, and I just thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that he's a good servant. And I thank you for this amazing work that you're about to do.
I reach out in Jesus.
God, I just honor you. I say thank you for sharing your heart with us. Your heart is so important to us. God, you're taking it. You're like quest for wanting what is real. Your quest for saying what it says it is. That's what we should be able to bank on. It's a standard we don't want you to lower. Wow. We don't want to lower that standard. We want to experience the word. And the problem is that we haven't like held on to the word in all the other areas, and then we come to a place of like, oh, this is what the word says. And I was watching Abigail this week. It's like, even this little girl is 15. She's probably 30 pounds. Her mom asked me, she said, can you pray for my baby? She needs a miracle. And I looked and I'm like, God, I need faith, and I don't even know how. And it felt like the first time that someone handed me this little dead baby. It said, here, doing something about this. Do something about this. And in my heart, I believe I'm supposed to be able to. But I haven't like walked in the word. I haven't experienced the word. I remember it was like a month ago, Mike Weber had, like, what was even wrong with you, Mike?
Your back.
It was your back or your ribs. Yeah, it was like, yeah, the ribs. And I was like, just really believe, like, man, I want to see Mike get healed because I love Mike. But more than that, I want to see a clear revelation of Jesus. Because I know that if we can see Jesus as he is, that like that rib pain couldn't hold up. If we could see Jesus as he is, cancer couldn't hold up. And I believe that. And I just say to you, Doug, like, I don't want you to lower your standard.
No.
I don't want you to lower the standard, like, so we can make the word work for us.
Yeah.
Like, we want to, like, grow up into the word. We want to grow up into the head.
Yes.
So don't lower the standard.
Yes.
Yeah, Doug. I feel like God really wants you to know that he likes it that you question him.
Yeah.
Like, he likes it a lot. And I just keep hearing him say, I found one. I found one. Hey, Jesus, look, I found one. He has to know the real thing. He has to know the truth.
Yeah, come on.
I found one. He responds to earnest seekers.
Yeah.
He knows the difficulties you've been through. But amid it all, I just see like a fresh. This, what you're about to go into is just like gonna blow your mind because he's gonna show you how real his word is. As much as you seek, he's gonna answer.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like the measure of the search is the measure of the find.
Yeah.
And that expectation, because you have an expectation for the word to be real. And that's what God wants. So don't give up the fight, man. Don't give up the fight to find that reality in everything he says. God says, I found one. I found one. He wants the real thing. He wants the truth. So we just bless you with the hunger, with that hunger to lead you to the answers, to lead you to the solutions, to lead you to the reality.
Remember the good things, and like it was hard for me. I really thought that he was gonna get healed. And he did. And now that I realize, that he finished and he changed a lot of people's lives. He changed mine and he changed a lot of people I know. He changed so many people that can't live. But like, I know he really, really likes his life. Like, last year he has his mission was to make sure that he could bring people to Jesus, and he did. And I feel like he really, really wants you to, like, really know that God is real and to trust him. Because he's with him right now. And I miss him a lot. But like, I know I'm gonna get to see him. And just for getting to see him, I just really want you to trust God right now.
Yeah. not good enough. Should I've been told to measure up? Should I've been told I'm not good enough? Sure, you're with me.
I will rejoice.
goodness, God. Thank you for your kindness. Lead us to repentance. Thank you for godly sorrow that works repentance. We say more, God. We ask for increase, God. We pray as we go home tonight. Father, we won't leave this place. Father, we would just stay in this place, God. God, we just pray for increase. We pray for increase in our hearts. God, we pray for the fruit of repentance. God, I pray that, yeah, that we wouldn't know what to do with all the fruit of repentance. That we would be encountering you. God, I just say, we just confess as we get ready to step into this. We don't know how to do it. That's why we're repenting. God, I don't know that we've ever been really solid in the Word together. I know there's different seasons where different people are strong in the Word. But God, would you just train us? Yeah, God, would you teach us to trust in your Word, God? Would you teach us to trust in you as we nurse on the Word? We say thank you, God, for what you're doing. I just, like, if you're, like, with me and it's just praying in your heart, pray out loud, God, don't let up. God, don't let up. We don't want to go back to anything. We want to lean into you, God. We're not trying to go past this. We're trying to get into it. Yeah, God, we like, yeah, I just remember somebody asked me, we started talking about, like, where are you trying to take, like, where are we trying to go in this gender identity, sexuality thing? It's just like, the answer doesn't, like, we're just trying to get into the Word. And we're trying to get the Word into us. But we don't want it to be about a topic, God. We want it to be our lives are built. So equip us.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I have to bring up one more thing. That girl that my dad was talking about earlier today, I prayed for her a lot during that time. And, like, she couldn't even swallow without, like, building up strength. And, like, I take for granted, like, swallowing and, like, talking and eating by myself and sitting up. Like, she can't do that, and she's 15. She's about half my size, and she's really skinny. Like, I can wrap, like, this is basically how thick her leg is. I take for granted stuff like talking and, like, opening my mouth and swallowing and stuff like that, and I just shouldn't, because, like, some people can't do that, and, like, I can't. I'm privileged to be able to walk and run and jump and use both of my arms and breathe and open my eyes without having effort, because, like, she can't do that. I saw so many people get prayed for, and, like, 95% of them, I feel like, got healed, and, it's just hard whenever I see someone who, like, she can't do half the things I can do, and she's 5 years older than me. And so I just want to repent for taking for granted those types of things. And I have one more thing to repent of. I took care of this a little bit ago, but like a year and a half ago. But it just keeps on going back, because, let's say, it just, like, fucking me. Because that's